This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Going to catch up with Warren Sharp and Lou Finicaro later on this hour. Nick Whalen's going to join us in the next hour talking all things football. What a glorious, glorious week. We were talking with Thomas Gable. I'll go back wherever you get your podcast, watching, listening, your time. Just during the breaks, Jensen, of like, man, what a great time of the year it is. If you're a football fan, you've come to the right place with college. National semifinal is almost completed. We'll get to that here in a sec. And wildcard weekend beginning in earnest tomorrow. So what we saw last night, what we're going to see this weekend, let's get it started here with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It's all about the U. Carson Beck, 7 years in college football. What was the line in Tommy Boy? You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years. Yeah, Tommy, they're called doctors. He's not a doctor, but he is a quarterback, and he runs it in for the game winner last night as the U moves on to the national final. They're going to take on the winner of Indiana and Oregon tonight. We'll break down that game here in earnest in a little bit. But Jensen, facing adversity, Carson Beck has faced it. I know maybe people don't always believe in Carson Beck and or Mario Cristobal. I guess the believers are going to start coming out of the woodworks now.
Great Tommy Boy reference. I sent you guys on our group chat. He's the modern day Van Wilder for being in college as long as he did. And I don't know if one of the Cavender twins is the modern day Tara Reid, but that's another show on another channel. Here's the stats that really stand out to me, courtesy of our friends at OptiStats. Miami Dave last night became the only FBS or NFL team in the last 20 years to hold the ball for 40 plus minutes, amass 400 plus yards of offense, convert 10 plus third downs, convert multiple fourth downs, have four drives of 13 or more plays, all in the same game, regular season or postseason. I told you I thought it was as dominant a first half as they had had. How Ole Miss hung around is a credit to them. Some pick sixes that the Miami defense dropped. This thing could have been a blowout, but what a thriller it was. And as I said, hat tip to Ole Miss, Pete Golding. But man, the U is back, man, and they get their home national championship game.
What impressed me, too, is they didn't trick Ole Miss at all, especially on those fourth and twos that you're referencing. These weren't fourth and inches. These are fourth and a couple. And they just ran it up the gut, and they moved the pile 6-7 yards. I mean, it was not – I was like, wow, this is like, you know exactly what we're going to do, and you can't stop it. That's the way it felt. And yet, there they were, down 3 late, and they needed a game-winning drive, and Carson Beck delivered it and then ran it in for the go-ahead and ultimately the game-winning score. So, who is the U going to play? Well, they're going to play a Big Ten school. Which one? We don't know yet. Oregon against Indiana – again, two more physical football. I mean, if there's ever a theme here of who's left standing, it's how physical can you be? And you got two more of these guys that want to get down and dirty tonight, even though the total sitting at 48.5. You know it's going to be about the line of scrimmage again. Miami won it last night, ultimately won the game. Is it as simple a handicap as that, Jensen, that whoever controls the front is going to win this football game tonight?
Yeah, I think execution too. Two physical defenses, two teams that are very well acquainted with each other, and the revenge angle certainly is going to be prominent tonight on Oregon's side. The problem is when you're going up against a freight train, what can derail it, and what do you have different that you haven't shown Kurt Cignetti and company, as detailed a team as we've seen and executing at such an efficient level. It is almost like Indiana is going to have to make mistakes. It's almost like Indiana is going to have to beat themselves if Oregon is going to have a chance. And I know that's crazy talk in some respects. And for Ducks fans that are tuning in, I have full respect for your team. But how does Oregon duplicate or get close to the most complete game that they just played against Texas Tech? So hard to do, Dave, for college athletes, let alone professional ones. I think it's Indiana's to lose tonight just from the way and the form that they are in right now.
You know, I'm also, if you go back to that first game, like at that point, Indiana's a top 10 school, but they're not number one in the country yet. They're not this kind of what we perceive Indiana to be now. We were still in the, remember at that point, I was like, well, who's this year's Indiana? Turned out to be Indiana again, right? And Mendoza throws a pick six in that game. It's tied up at 20 late in Eugene. And that's kind of when the Heisman Trophy Mendoza started to emerge. And they go right back down the field after that pick six and regain the lead. That says a lot about the mental makeup of the quarterback, of the head coach, of this football team. They didn't blink at Eugene the first time. I'd be surprised if they blink tonight here in this national semifinal game. So with that, taking center stage in college, the NFL is going to have wildcard weekend, but we know that the firings have not stopped yet. And we had another one yesterday, maybe a bit of a surprise that Mike McDaniel is out after 4 years as the head coach there in Miami. Remember, I think it was last week we ran a soundbite of Mike saying he was going to be helping in the GM search there in Miami. No, that's not happening either. So that, I remember saying at the time, that just feels interesting. So now you need a GM and you need a head coach there. Troy Aikman, of course, is helping in those discussions. I have to believe that if you bring him on as some sort of consultant, that was part of this consulting with Stephen Ross, the owner there. But that cannot be happenstance that just happens and now McDaniel is out. So again, if you're reading between the lines here a little bit, Jensen, I wonder how much say Aikman is having right now in putting together whatever this new look hierarchy is going to be in Miami.
Yeah, domino effects. So we knew Aikman was going to be advising before John Harbaugh was let go from the Ravens. It is no coincidence in my mind that all of a sudden the pivot happens. And if you're Mr. Ross and company down there in South Beach and the prediction markets that I'm seeing this morning, Dave, John Harbaugh right now, about 58%. The leading candidate by a boatload over Vance Joseph, Robert Saleh, the other two contenders, at least in those markets right now, to be the next head football coach there for the Miami Dolphins. In no uncertain terms, and we are still waiting to see teams that are in the postseason, a lot of fire or a lot of smoke around Buffalo. Should Sean McDermott and company lose against Jacksonville? Is he out? Joe Brady is going to get a lot of calls as the OC for the Bills as well. You look at Philadelphia. I mean, if any fan base can run a coach out of town when they've been winning, it's Philly fans. Is Nick Sirianni somehow falls as a 5.5-point favorite to the Niners? Does that group move on? A lot of dominoes to fall here, but I'd be hard pressed to think that Mike McDaniel, at the very least, Dave, he'll be at least an OC somewhere this coming year. Where that is, I think is real indicative of his internal thoughts too. Does he need a year just to kind of get sharp again, and maybe he learned a few things, allow that responsibility to go elsewhere? And think of the skill sets too. If you are Dan Campbell, and you brought this up yesterday, how do you not just roll out the red carpet and say, okay, man, I was wrong. You know what you're doing. You may be the offensive genius of our time. Come on in, do your thing. Just check in with me and let me know what you need, and let's go from there.
When I was covering the Redskins back in the day and Steve Spurrier was the head coach, and back then they had a Hall of Famer, Bruce Smith, that was playing for the Redskins before he retired. And they asked Coach Spurrier, they said, hey, Bruce wasn't at practice today. Where is he? And he said, he wasn't? He didn't hear? Well, I don't know. Go talk to Marvin. Marvin Lewis was the defensive coordinator. And that was the point, right? Steve Spurrier was taking care of the offense. Marvin Lewis was taking care of the defense. If you're Dan Campbell in Detroit, turn that. If you want him, apparently they've already been in contact. You turn that offense over to him. That's your baby. And I'll see you on Sunday and we'll check in during the week. And I'm going to be overseeing. The last thing you want to see is Dan Campbell with a play sheet. And you saw that way too often this year. The Harbaugh thing is interesting because I don't think this is a negative at all. He is a CEO of football ops, right? That's what you're getting. You're getting a guy, as we've heard from Charm City there in Owings Mills for the years. You're getting a guy that's setting the tone for everything that happens in the building. He might not be calling plays, might not be running the defense and or the offense, but he's overseeing everything. Jensen, there are overseers, and then there are coordinators who are head coaches. And it does work differently for different places, but I want to make sure that certain coaches are better in that role and certain coaches can do the double duty. I don't want Mike McDaniel being the head coach calling plays because I just feel like that's too much. I do want him with that play sheet as the OC. Why do you think that works for certain coaches and for others they can't seem to compartmentalize?
I'll take it from an experience in my closing days. When you're a seventh inning reliever, an eighth inning reliever versus being the ninth inning guy in the closer, it is different. The weight of the world is on you. All of a sudden, the three outs become so magnified, or however many you got to get to lock down a win. Same synergy, if you will, where there are certain coordinators that just aren't CEO types. They cannot multitask or multi-manage all the different facets, and that's okay. You just have to identify that early on. There are bad CEOs, Dave. There are guys that are completely overwhelmed that cannot get the job done. When you find the guys that can do it really well, and hey, it's not a coincidence that John Harbaugh for 18, 19 years, Mike Tomlin for 18, 19 years, Andy Reid for 20 plus. It is what it is, man. And that's why those organizations remain successful year in and year out.
Yeah, it's fascinating because there are so many different examples of success both ways, right? That can do that both ways, whether they're calling plays, whether they've got somebody else they entrust in it. That's going to be fascinating to see what happens down there in Miami with now the GM and the head coach vacancies that they currently have. All right, we're going to have Warren Sharp join the program next. Cannot wait to get some of his props that he sees out there for Wild Card Weekend because it is a second season, and I wonder, do you go back to the well that you saw in the regular, or do you switch it up here for the postseason? We'll discuss those things and more with Warren Sharp next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, here on this Friday morning. We always look forward, Jensen Lewis, to our conversations with Warren Sharp. Does a great job as an NFL analyst at sharpfootballanalysis.com. Give him a follow on X, as we do, at Sharp Football, and joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Warren, happy Friday football to you. We can't wait for Wildcard Weekend here with six games in the docket, two starting tomorrow. And I was curious, just does the way you approach the prop market, because you're so good at doing that week in and week out in the regular season here for all of our VSiN viewers and listeners, does that change at all in the postseason, or is it pretty much you're going to go with the same process that got you to those winner circles in the regular season?
Well, the way that I break down the games, the way that I analyze things, the data that I'm using, that doesn't change. That's all consistent. The difference is that you are getting, first of all, there's fewer games, and so you have to pick your spots a little bit more strategically. You should reduce action. I know it's inevitable. You get to the Super Bowl, you want to have fire on a million props. And I do the same thing, as long as you're doing so with the expectation that some of these bets are going to be a little bit more toss up and just fun bets to have action on the game rather than investment style bets where you're looking to put a lot of money down. You're still looking to pick and choose those spots because yes, they do line more, but you still have to focus on where you think you have the most edge. But the biggest difference is when they're rolling out these props. They're rolling out these props on Monday, and usually I'm of the persuasion where I'm doing my work Monday, Tuesday. I've got everything organized. Wednesday, I'm starting to finalize things, and then I'm waiting. Where are the lines? Where are the lines? The books haven't put up the lines. Wednesday, I'm waiting until Wednesday evening. Most of the key players still aren't even lined. Most of the key prop markets still aren't even lined. Work late in the night Wednesday, early Thursday, all of a sudden, okay, we're starting to see some things. Here, it was Monday afternoon. Pretty much every major prop market for every major player is already out. And so at that point, it's like, okay, If you want to move on something that you think other people might also agree with, you have to go a little bit earlier. And so that's what I ended up doing a little bit this week. But the way that you bet and the stories you have to create in order to have some success in these markets are still consistent with what you do during the regular season.
Okay, Warren, here's a unique spot. We actually have all outdoor games for NFL wildcard weekend. So nothing really in a vacuum here as far as the elements. That's going to get you to your favorite prop of the week, or at least the conditions ripe for it in Jacksonville. Bills, Jaguars, what you targeting in that one?
Yeah, real quick, I do want to say great point on all the outdoor games. That's rare to see in the wild card round. And secondly, what's also rare to see, at least for me, I've always been of the persuasion divisional round is my favorite weekend of football. You used to. I mean, we're old now, I guess. The number one and number two seeds got a break in wild card round. They get reintroduced in this round, in the divisional round. And so you've got your best, you know, games, best four games going in the division round. I'm walking that back this year. My perspective this year for this particular week with the two teams that we've got sitting at home, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks, I don't think they're heads and tails different, better than the rest of these teams here. I think this weekend is going to be the best weekend of football, hopefully, that we've got with the six games and the three on Sunday and the two on Saturday night and then the one on Monday night. So hopefully it's going to be great. And hopefully we have some success on what we're looking to bet on this Sunday game, the 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoff, Jags versus the Bills. My thought on this, it starts at twofold. It's the matchup, and then it's the way I see the game playing out. The Buffalo Bills have been a very conservative, run-focused team of late with Josh Allen. They are not dropping back and just chucking the ball out around the field like they were in 2020. They're handing the ball off more. They're playing the pace of play slower. The Jacksonville Jaguars are the total opposite. Since week 10, this is the number two highest scoring team in the first half of games. Since week 14, they're the number one highest scoring team in the first half of games. They get out the gates very quickly. Now, yes, they've played some weaker opponents, but who hasn't in the league this year? And they also start with a faster than average pace of play. They have a high pass rate, one of the highest in the NFL. They start quickly and score points, and they play fast. If they are able to do that and replicate that at home against this Buffalo Bills defense, which is a little bit banged up, I think that's going to pull the Buffalo Bills out of their run-centric, play it slow against all these Brady Cooks and, you know, terrible quarterbacks that they've gone up against left and right down the stretch here. I think they're going to have to open up their offense. Everybody knows that this is the year for Josh Allen, right? I mean, that is the narrative going into this postseason. You don't have Mahomes, you don't have Joe Burrow, the guys that have been thorns in his side. It's an opportunity for him to win. If they all of a sudden lose this wild card game down in Jacksonville, I mean, it's going to be a disaster for Sean McDermott and the entire Buffalo Bills organization. They can't afford to do that. Josh Allen basically had a bye week last week, should be fresh for this game. I think they're going to have to drop back and pass the football out. I think a lot of their passing props in general are undervalued this week going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars because of the strength of the opponent that they've played recently and their style of play and the fact that they haven't been falling behind necessarily despite not scoring that many points early on in games. And as a result, you know, I attacked one thing that market has shifted. You know, my favorite bet of the week, I ended up giving that out to subs on Wednesday. But I do think that there are still valuable opportunities to attack some of these Buffalo Bills receivers from a receiving perspective. Whether you're looking at Dalton Kincaid, his total receiving yards or his longest reception, whether you're looking at, you know, auxiliary weapons like Brandon Cook's longest reception. I think there are guys that are available for the Bills that they're going to need to throw the ball to. Hell, you can even look at James Cook, the running back. If Ty Johnson does not go, James Cook is probably going to have 20 to 25 receiving yards at a minimum in this game, and he's lined right around 15 and a half. So I think that there's an opportunity there from a base and ladder perspective, especially if Ty Johnson is not available, which he hasn't missed, which he's mispracticed two straight days, right?
Yeah, that would bode well for those James Cook receiving props, that is for sure. Warren, I can't get to the window yet on this Panthers-Rams game to kick off wildcard weekend tomorrow. I feel like the Panthers are the right side to be on, and I just can't get there and pull the trigger. Is there a prop that you might like better in that first game that I'd be more comfortable with?
Well, again, I'm going to go to a thought process, and that thought process is that I don't think the Rams are going to need or should enter this game, because they've played once already, with the traditional Rams style of offense, which is under center, drop back, use play action against this Carolina Panthers defense. They used that at a very high rate last game against the Panthers, and it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. When Matthew Stafford took traditional shotgun snaps, sometimes from 11 personnel, just threw the football, he had far more success. Why is that? The Rams defensive coordinator changes the picture a ton, pre-snap to post-snap. And they're the best defense in the NFL against play action. You are not going to fool them, because when you turn your back on them and you turn back around to face the defense, they're lined up differently than they were previously, and your timing gets thrown off, and where you're looking to go with the football gets thrown off a bit, and they play a little bit softer, and they're very difficult to get explosive plays on, and they frustrate some of the passing attacks that are looking to create shot plays down the field off of play action, which is why they had a lot of success and got a lot of interceptions against offenses like the Seahawks with Sam Darnold, the 49ers with Brock Purdy, and even the Packers with Jordan Love. As a result, I think the Rams, they're the better team from a personnel perspective. Line up and play football. You don't need to utilize the shotgun, or you don't need to utilize under center play action. Just run the ball. And I think your running backs are going to have a lot of success. I think both running backs in this game should have success. The key question is, which guy? Kyren Williams. They always said, you know, weeks ago, we're going to save Kyren for the playoffs, so let's work Blake Corman a little bit more. But guess what? What happened when they started working Blake Corman a little more? He's actually a little bit more explosive than Kyren. They might actually have more trust and confidence in Blake carrying that load. So maybe they maintain the same exact split in the playoffs as they were during the regular season. And if that's the case, Blake Corman's rushing yards is definitely undervalued. And I also think, though, that Kyren will have some success. So I was looking towards the rushing overs, especially in some potential weather there in Charlotte tomorrow, that we should see some upside for the rushing attack of the LA Rams.
All right, Warren, last 30 seconds with you, buddy. Any of these games in particular, and I'm looking at the weather on Saturday night, Green Bay and Chicago, is it a stay away spot from a player prop standpoint? How does that weather factor in for you?
It does factor in. I would be looking to something like the passing game of the Green Bay Packers to have some unders on that, just because I don't think they might need to throw the football a ton. One in particular I might be attacking later today is Jordan Love's completions market, his attempts market potentially as well. I just don't know that we're going to need to see him, after being off for a couple of weeks, coming in and chucking the football all around in this weather. And certainly the Chicago Bears are going to try to run the football a fair amount in Caleb Williams' career first playoff game.
Cannot wait, Warren. It's going to be great. Now, you're going to be with us all weekend here on the network. So everybody, if you want some of those prop plays, you're going to get those to us. I know you do a great job right before kickoff as well on the Sunday morning show. So, Warren, really appreciate your time as always, my friend. Everybody give him a follow out there on X at Sharp Football. Check it out at sharpfootballanalysis.com. When we come back, Lou Finicaro is going to join the program as well. He's got a three-legged 10-point tease that he's got for the people. That is next right here on VSiN by the Books.
And by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Friday morning. Great conversation with Warren Sharp in the last segment. Again, be sure to watch all of our program this weekend, certainly on Sunday before those games. Mitch and Paul, Warren's going to be on those programs to give you his final prop plays before kickoff there. We always love our conversations with the great Lou Finicaro as well. Joins us here from Arizona. Give him a follow on X at Gamblu. He is the host of the About Business podcast. Also gives out his sneak peep for all of his followers there as well, and subscribers to get the best of the number before we get to the UFC action. Joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. I know we have a couple more weeks before we get down there to UFC 324. I'm starting to get the itch, Lou, to talk fighting again. We can tell the people now, you're going to be our special guest for the return of First Strike next week, a little bonus edition with me, you, and Rob Moreno to get us kind of primed for UFC 324. Before we get to your football picks here, have you been good with this time away? Did you need a break from breaking down fight after fight?
Well, first of all, guys, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, especially this crunch time of year. And Dave, I've really taken this amount of time to not even think about the UFC. So all this time off has been welcome to me. That said, I just did the model for the card in a couple of weeks. I tracked my opening lines. And so I am starting to thaw out, get ready, get the mind ready. Pimlet and Gaethje. We got to talk about how the twist to Paramount is going to adjust how the matchmakers make fights and everything. And so there's a lot to uncover. And I'm thrilled and tickled to be able to share insight with you and Robbio, how he goes on Twitter in the first first strike of the year. It'll be exciting.
It will. Lou, you reminded me of my return to throw when I would take my 4 weeks off each year before I'd get back in and start getting ready for the season. And I would always go back and watch those strikeouts of David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez and all those other guys that took steroids too. Here we go. We've got your usual three-leg 10-point teaser. It has been so highly profitable this season. Now we get the postseason iteration of it. Let us know how you got to the three legs that you did and maybe some insight there as well.
Well, I'm going to reference Gil's show because Gil for years has been putting out pick the winner as he footnotes the fact that the point spread traditionally in wild card weekend doesn't really come into play. So find the team that's going to win and ride with them. And so with that in mind, I'm really high on the Rams. I love the coaching angle for McVay after getting beat in Carolina. And I think if you can take them from 10, which is where they currently are, I believe at circa, and take that right down to a pick, I think that's a really viable first leg because I believe that the Rams are a solid, viable Super Bowl contender. Even if they're 10.5 and you take them down to the half, we're not going to have to worry about any kind of a tie in the playoffs. Leg one, the LA Rams down to a pick. I was dying to use Green Bay Chicago under early in the week, but it made me a little nervous that that total didn't drop based on the weather. And hey, 10-day weather reports are accurate, guys, and we knew this weather was coming Monday. I just didn't have the fortitude to pull that. So the second leg on Monday, Philly was 3.5. I took them now to across zero to a plus 6.5. This morning, those listening will not be able to get that number. And despite the fact that 5.5 is still better than 3, I would encourage folks to maybe consider now, even though you've lost a point in Green Bay and Chicago, that's 44.5. I wouldn't have a problem if you take that up to 54.5 for the second leg. So I'll give people the option there simply because that Philly is not plus 6.5 anymore using 10 points. Last leg, Houston, Pittsburgh, under 49.5. I've always been a rule breaker. My dad always told me they call it the hard way for a reason, and I've had to learn the hard way. Everyone tells you you're not supposed to tease totals, and to that I say phooey, because if you're going to give me 10 points on a total with Houston and Pittsburgh, I have to gobble that up. So there's your three team 10-point tees, and we have had really fortunate luck and results with those this year.
Lou, I love it. You know my folks are watching you back at home in Virginia Beach. They love your appearances here, and my dad had to drill that into me as a young man or a very young boy. Bet with your head, not with your heart, and that's the rule that I struggle with the most here sometimes. And by the way, I owe you dinner. Because we did have a wager, by the way, for the people where we had 8 was the number for the Cowboys win total this year. And I was going over, you were going under, and you get home with the Cowboys giving 7 wins. So whenever I see you next, dinner is on me, my man. You earned that. That last game of the year could at least got me a push.
You know, 5 games in, I was beating my chest. 8 games in, I was looking for a hole to crawl under. And you know, with a deal like that, Dave, I'll let you buy the food. I buy the drinks. And really, those bets are designed that there is but 2 winners. There is no loser
That's
in
right.
that bet.
That's exactly right. And I know one of the teams that you're looking to fade this year was the Buffalo Bills. And boy, you were right on it that like everybody just assumed the Bills were going to roll in the regular season. It was anything but. They don't win the division. They got to go the wild card route now. Where are you now on the Bills as they go to Jacksonville for wild card weekend? And I know Jensen and I lean towards the Jags on this side. Is this a cheap price on the Bills? Because I think some people look at it and go, no Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar. Give me the best quarterback left in the field, and that would be Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think in a macro sense, that has to come into it. But when I look at this matchup, I love the fact that the Jags are coming in white hot. If I break down the game this way, coaching, I'm going to give it to McDermott. I love the fact that they haven't been able to kick the door in the last few years. There's hunger in Buffalo, and they're not the big boy sitting at home waiting for everyone to come. They're going to have to do it the way the Chiefs did it a few years back on the road. I also think that I have the running game with Buffalo, and I surely have the advantage at quarterback. As I look at the game, I think it's going to be critical for Buffalo after the bye to play from the lead in this game. I would look at maybe Buffalo first quarter, Buffalo first half kinds of props, because I believe they need to jump out in front of Jacksonville and get the less experienced team, the less experienced coach and quarterback into a little bit of a tight pucker situation and play from the lead. And I think if the Bills can do that, not only are they a threat in this game, I really think they're a threat to take it real, real deep. I like them in the AFC. As I've wagered earlier on this program, we took Buffalo, AFC at the time, with Oregon to win the college football championship at 47-1. Today, that's 22.5-1, so not terrible. And I would take it a step further. Buffalo, Seattle, exacta, which is exactly how I see this thing going. That's a 13-1 now. And for those folks that think that I am drunk on Buffalo, okay, I'll give you a Denver Seattle at 700 at plus 700. But I think Buffalo's the team to beat in the AFC, and I think they have the ability to go to Jacksonville and win. I also think they have the mettle to go to Denver and find success as well.
Phenomenal. Lou, we had Ross Tucker on the program yesterday. He said the winner of Bills Jaguars is his pick to go all the way. So great minds thinking alike there. All right. It is a tradition unlike any other with the homage to the Masters. It is your little bomb bet that you love to give us, whether it be UFC, cross sport. You have a Super Bowl exacta you want to give me today. What you got?
Yeah. And I just mentioned it. It's that I'm on Buffalo to Seattle at 13-1. And not the juicy 47-1, because I'm coming down to earth and I want to cash a ticket. And I think at 13-1, I got Seattle at home. I think a team getting totally overlooked. And the dialogue is, oh, Darnold can't do it. Hey, Darnold, if Darnold wasn't a competitor, he'd have curled up and gone home to mommy by now. No, he's there. He wants to kick the door in and realize a lifelong dream. And I'm all in on Seattle. Team them up with Buffalo at 13-1, and that's as good a bomb as I can release this morning, guys.
That is a really good one. 2 weeks from tomorrow, it will be UFC 324 with two title bouts. I see Patty Pimblett right now, solid over $2 betting favorite. Justin Gaethje plus $1.90. Amanda Nunes, the Lioness, is back in there against Kayla Harrison. She's plus $1.80. You're going to be on First Strike with me later on next week, people. So First Strike's coming back with Lou, and we'll break it down there. But very quickly, Lou, tell the people what they get with the Sneak Peek podcast, because I know that's going to be coming out here before we get to those UFC 324 fight lines.
Yeah, Monday the 19th across all podcast platforms. The Sneak Teep is simply a breakdown of opening lines and where they have moved. Then the Bout Business podcast that had been behind a paywall is coming public. I actually lost money in the UFC last year. I don't mind saying that. It is the truth. The Bout Business will be available to everyone across all podcasts.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
we continue the Friday edition of VSiN by the Books, and we always talk about making smarter bets, and smart advertisers are doing the same with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage. From premium podcasts and connected TV to data-driven digital campaigns, they're going to deliver measurable ROI. And as VSiN's exclusive ad partner, Mission Media gives you direct access to one of the most loyal, action-oriented sports audiences anywhere. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising@VSiN.com. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here. Enjoyed our conversation, as we always do, with the great Lou Finocchiaro. In the last segment, Warren Sharp was earlier this hour. Wherever you get your podcast, go back and listen on your time. Great conversations were had in hour number two. Now, we're going to get to these playoff games that we have, maybe with an homage to one of the greatest shows to begin said conversation. It is time for the Daily Gridiron. Hut,
hut. This is the Daily Gridiron.
Jensen, I don't know how you are in your, how you consume, which shows you want to watch, which, like, I never thought that certain shows I would get into, and then I'm all the way in. One of those was Game of Thrones. I never thought that would appeal to me, and for some reason, it just clicked, and I absolutely loved it. Are you paying homage to that show to kick off the Daily Gridiron?
Certainly. We're back in it because for those HBO Max fans out there, you know, we have kind of that precursor to the Game of Thrones series that's coming out. House of the Dragon is coming out again this year, the latest season. So The King of the North, it was Rob Stark. Actually, it was Ned Stark before Rob Stark and then Jon Snow. Here we go. This is homage to the NFC North. And what a trend we have, Dave. Since 2021, the favorite in playoff matchups of divisional foes, in which we will have with the Packers and the Bears, the favorite is 9-0 outright. And Dan Orlovsky, I know he listens every morning to get ready for First Take, an average win by almost 18 points per. I had to do a double take when I looked at it. 9-0 outright when this trend, which is active on the Packers, minus the point and a half. Not only has it been convincing, it's been a blowout. So that is remarkable. That in mind, Dave, it got me thinking, as Lou Finocchiaro does every week with us, a little three-team 10-point teaser. I looked at a couple of ones that I'm interested in your thoughts on. So ironically, I put the Bears in one just in case this trend comes to an end. Getting them up to plus 7.5. The Jags, also the home dogs, up to plus 7.5. I think that's probably going to be a popular one throughout the weekend. The Chargers getting up to 9.5 on the road, and then the Steelers getting up to 9 at home on Monday night. And then I took a shot on the two games where the scenarios, at least right now, the forecast, very nice weather in Charlotte tomorrow afternoon, very comfortable weather in Jacksonville and down in Duval County there on Saturday or Sunday morning. Tease the totals down to the over 40.5 for Rams Panthers, and then also the over 45.5 for Bills Jags. Anything there interest you?
I love the tease down, and I know, again, this is cardinal sins for some people out there, and Lou Finocchiaro said in the last segment, tease and totals in the postseason, he says, phooey. If you can get it home and you feel like it's a value play to make, then I'm with you and Lou on that. I do like that over in the Rams-Panthers game. That's the lean that I have even before that six-point tease. I think we'd be hard-pressed to not see the Rams in the 30s in a contest like that. I'd be very surprised. I mean, it can happen. If somehow the Panthers can suppress that score. But to me, this feels like a, you know, 31-17, 31-14 type game here for the Rams. I have not gotten home on that side, but I do like the total. So I like what you're doing there. And even in that Bills-Jaguars game, you're going to get points. I think you're hard-pressed, again, for these defenses to stand up with the firepower that these offenses have. And I do think the way that Liam Cohen has got Trevor Lawrence cooking might be a struggle for the Bills to stop them too. So I do like that tease option there. And the other thing about being in the Kings of the North, what I like about the North is the North remembers. And also, if Aria is making you a meal, I would advise you not to eat it. We'll just leave it at that if you haven't seen the show. You've got more things that you want to look at here, and maybe an homage to Bruce Willis on this one.
Welcome to the party, indeed. And again, we've obviously highlighted a lot of where underdogs have been, not only the play in the wild card round, but some just overall in the playoffs are good trends to follow. So one that is present here, particularly, Dave, playoff underdogs that were absent from this previous postseason. You go back to 2017, those teams overall, those underdogs are 34-16 just overall in the playoffs. It gets even better in the wild card round, 17-6, good for a 74% cover percentage. Let's take it a step further. The last decade, when you have home playoff underdogs, overall in the playoffs, they're 11-2, good for an 85% cover percentage. They're 6-2 in the wild card round. So that is active on the Panthers plus 10.5, on the Bears plus 1.5, on the Jaguars plus 1.5, and on the Steelers plus 3.
I love the Steelers play on Monday night. I know I might be on an island in this one again. Again, I played it at 3.5. It has dropped down to 3. I was fascinated with the conversation with Thomas Gable in the first hour. Again, go back, listen on your own time when you like and subscribe to the podcast. That's the game they're seeing the most action on. That just blows my mind that everybody can't wait to bet that game right now. Houston and Pittsburgh, that advance handle they're seeing there. I think people have very strong opinions about those two teams. And I think a lot of people look at the Steelers as fraudulent, and they look at the Texans as this potential Super Bowl representative from the AFC. You know how much I love that Texans defense. I'm concerned about their offense. And I would say this when you say, welcome to the party, pal. I just love the Christmas Day tweets that you'd see of like shots fired at Nakatomi Tower in Los Angeles and people not getting the reference that it's diehard. Jensen, you're going to bet the build wild card edition. What do you have for the weekend?
So this is fun for your DFS players out there because we get 3 days of coverage, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So on our FanDuel build, we targeted some interesting options as far as the offense goes. I did go with Drake May over Josh Allen in this particular build and teamed him with Stephon Diggs. It has just been a really unique connection for them, not only for the entirety of the season, but specifically for the last month or so. Did go a little more heavy volume running backs with Saquon Barkley and Travis Etienne. Also getting Christian Watson back here in the fold for Jordan Love is going to be big. And I know I'm taking a little bit of a risk there considering what the elements might be at Soldier Field on Saturday night. Jacoby Myers has been a plug and play for Trevor Lawrence. If that one does become a shootout, definitely want to get some shares of Jacoby Myers because of his volume. George Kittle, we've talked about the injury issues, and he's one to monitor as well, Dave. But if it is no Ricky Pearsall and Brock Purdy's downfield options are limited, you got to believe George Kittle is going to be the beneficiary of that. Also, a little correlated play here, Jaylen Warren in the flex spot and the Steelers defense. I don't think it's a surprise. We think the lowest scoring game of wildcard weekend will be that Monday night affair. It is going to be cold. Our possession's going to be limited for both offenses. We shall see. But Jaylen Warren, not only effective in the rush attack, but also receiving out of the backfield with Kenneth Gainwell. We changed it a bit with the DraftKings build, and I did go with Josh Allen, and I also shook it up a little bit with our wide receivers. Hard to get away from Puka Nacua, right? And so just a little differential in the scoring. DraftKings, a full point, a fur points per reception instead of the half point that's on FanDuel. So we get a little more bang for our buck there. Parker Washington, not the Jacoby Myers play, but a little off that. If Buffalo tries to take away the primary downfield threat, then I think Parker Washington only going to take a couple of big catches for him to cash in there. Back to Christian Watson. We did a little dueling tight ends here, Dave. Hunter Henry has been great in the red zone for New England and Drake May. Dalton Schultz similarly here for CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans. And then right back to the well here with the Steelers, as we believe that that game between Houston and Pittsburgh will be the lowest scoring of wildcard weekend.
You know what I find fascinating? And you said that Jacoby Myers is a plug and play guy. The longest winning streak right now in the league is the Houston Texans. It's a 9-game winning streak. The second longest is Jacksonville. And ironically, that trade for Jacoby Myers was made on November 4th. We've talked about it a lot in the program in that they lost that first week in that wild comeback by Houston. If you remember that game, a game that Jacksonville was leading comfortably, and they haven't lost since Jacksonville, since that game. So I'm not saying it's all about Jacoby Myers, but that's why that plug and play makes so much sense. Jensen, since he's come on board, who knew that a Jacoby Myers November trade, deadline trade, was going to be maybe the impetus for this offense? But it really has. That's pretty good identification by the front office, by Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, to realize this guy is the difference maker right now for the quarterback.
Crazy, right? It has been what a turnaround for Liam Cohen and that entire organization.
We're going to talk to another Jaguar guy. This will be Nick Whalen, joins the program here in the next hour. Can they keep this run going? That's all coming up right here on VSiN by the Books.